You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
Coming up on episode 33 of the RedCafe.net podcast, we'll be singing the praises of an unsung hero as Park downs Liverpool. Decorative Ed faces the music in this week's CAF countdown, and a Bolton fan joins us on the line to preview this weekend's trip to the Reebok Stadium.
Welcome to the RedCafe.net podcast. You can email us at podcast@redcafe.net, or alternatively, post your opinion on the RedCafe.net forums.
Well, hello and welcome to episode 33 of the RedCafe.net podcast. Dan, Dov, how are you doing this week?
Fine, mate, Steve. Obviously delighted with the weekend's results, including our own and obviously Chelsea's as well. I think we're going to win the league now. I'm very optimistic. Can't see us slipping up anywhere.
I like it, Dan. I like it. Dov, how are you doing?
I'm just impressed with Dan's confidence, but other than that, I'm very well, Steve, very, very well. I like Dan, an excellent weekend. I can't really say how happy I am after the weekend's games.
Brilliant, wasn't it? Well, we'll start just there with the Liverpool game. Obviously, 2-1 victory, fantastic stuff. And Dan, considering we'd lost to them prior to that? So to have beaten them finally, and to go top of the table too, as you mentioned, with Chelsea drawing, it was a great weekend, as you both said.
Yeah, fantastic weekend. It was a good result for us as well. I mean, I don't think the performance was particularly brilliant, but, you know, this time of the season, like I think Darren Fletcher said, you know, it's about getting the 3 points. Liverpool started off very well. I think Rooney had a chance before Torres scored, but Torres took his goal very well. But I don't think Liverpool did much after that, really, apart from in the last minute when Torres fluffed his lines. But I think it was a solid performance anyway, defensively. Ferdinand, he makes such a difference to United when he plays. I think he's such a good defender. And Vidic as well. He outplayed Torres for much of the game. So I think that, overall, it's a good performance. It's just delighted to get the win, really.
Dov, individual performances. Park, terrific, wasn't he? Comes up with a winner. And he is an unsung hero, isn't he, really? When you look back to the little praise he does get since he joined United, he just goes along unnoticed, doesn't he? Puts in a decent shift every time he plays. Sometimes, technically, he might not be as good as someone like Nani, who's got all the tricks and flips, but he makes up for it for endeavour and work rate, doesn't he?
Well, I've just got to say, before I go on and answer that, I like your pun that you managed to slip in there, the unsung hero. Very good, Steve. But Ji-Sung Park, I'm going to admit something. I'll probably get slated for this. I did text Dan after about the first half hour, and I said, get Park off. I thought he was terrible. His touch wasn't really there. His first touch was horrendous. He was running into blind alleys. It just didn't look like he was getting into the game at all. And I thought, I was like, get Park off, get somebody else on, like Giggs or somebody like that, or maybe even Dimitar Berbatov. But what do I know about football? Fergie kept him on, and he came up with the goods. So there you go. But it was a great. Like, after that, I thought he really got into the game and showed that. Well, for his lack of technical ability and things like that, he really does make up for it for his work rate and energy, and sort of closing down the space that Liverpool had and making space of his own as well.
I think first half, though, I mean, he was obviously told to kind of like just get in and around Liverpool players, like Lucas and Mascherano, stop them from playing. And I think second half, he had more influence on the game, didn't he? Because, well, more creative influence. Anyway, I think we went for it a little bit more second half, and he could obviously get in behind. He got ahead of Rooney a few times. He was almost like a centre-forward at some points of the game. And obviously his goal, great little run. And, he finished it off well, and he was brave as well going in where Johnson was having his feet up. But, I mean, I think he's definitely improved over last season or so. I think he was injured at the beginning of this season, though, and it meant, meant that he didn't really come out of pre-season flying. But, I mean, this time, I think he's been really good. I mean, he was good against Milan, wasn't he? I think he scored against Arsenal this season. Well, not this season, but he scored against Arsenal in big games. So he's a big game player, and we'll need him for the forthcoming games.
I just think if he really can work on his technique and his first touch a little bit more, he could be even more dangerous than what he is just now. I just think sometimes it really lets him down, because he does get into good spaces and good positions, but his first touch will let him down, or it won't have the technique to beat a player or like play a pass properly. It's just it frustrates me quite a lot when he does that, and he was doing that.
Yeah, to be fair, I mean, he's never been a winger that's going to buzz past people and whip a cross in, really. Nine times out of ten, he's always going to go inside and look to pass it, isn't he? So I think he's probably a bit old now to start changing his game, Dov. But
I understand
what you're saying. And, fully.
But he's playing in the middle now instead of playing on the wings, and I think he's much more effective through there as well, because, like you say, he can't really beat players.
I think he's assured in and around the box as well. If you give a Park a chance, it's rare that he'll just lash at it and hit and hope. He's quite decent at finishing, I think. He picks his spot pretty well.
He's ideal to play behind the strikers or in the middle, like you say, because his movement's so good. He can find space, which means he's always available. And he's got a decent pass on him as well. So, I can't have any complaints over him. Fletcher
was fantastic again. He really he kept Gerrard quiet, and I was quite wanting him to get into a fight with Coit as well. I was hoping something more would have came with that, but obviously it didn't.
He's another one that's improved, and a lot of fans, including myself, like when he first came through, was doubting him, saying he's not good enough to play for United, this and that. But he also, like Park has been fantastic. It's just the fact that he can break down the opposition attacks very well. He's decent on the ball as well. He can put in a decent cross. He crossed for Rooney in the San Siro, didn't he? He crossed yesterday for Park's goal. So he's definitely getting his assists as well, which is vital for a midfielder.
Mm-hmm. One of the first names on the team sheet now, I think. He's absolutely superb. What about Mascherano, the challenge on Valencia? Bit of controversy. Benitez has said it wasn't a pen. It was just a free kick. And Ferguson says it should have been a red card. So what's... Dov, what's your stance on it?
I can see why he gave a penalty. When I first seen it, obviously the first time seen it, I thought it was a penalty. But obviously when you have the replays, I think Valencia waited until he got over the 18-yard line before he went down. I think he could have went down before then, but he knew he was close enough to the penalty box. He could probably run another couple of yards and get in the box. The initial foul for me was outside the box. But I think I would have sent off Mascherano because it was a goal-scoring opportunity as well. Because basically, if Mascherano wasn't there, Valencia was 1-1 with the keeper, probably would have scored. So I can see both points, and I can see why the referee gave it as a penalty, because he sees it once. First time you see it, you think it's a penalty. So I don't think that there could be much complaining. You're complaining about really negligible things. It was a foul, and Mascherano, for me, should have got sent off. So I think a penalty, maybe fair in the long run.
It's the risk you run, though, when you're tugging someone's arm back when he's running through on goal, near the penalty area. It's his own fault, Mascherano. He does it time and time again, and he gets away with it most times, but this time he got punished. Probably was outside the area, the first contact, but, I mean, if you carry it on in the area, I mean, there's no reason why it can't be a penalty. Valencia, went down fairly easy, but who wouldn't do in that situation? You're telling me that Gerrard wouldn't have done that if it was at the other end, or Torres,
Gerrard might have done a couple extra rolls as well, just to make sure.
Well, I don't mind it. It was a foul, so I think he's fully entitled to give a penalty there. And Torres as well, when he went and kicked the penalty spot. I don't know what he's playing out there. But
that was disgusting. It was really, really annoyed me.
We had an email from Eddie Dulac from New York pointing out just about Torres, what he was doing there. It was strange, to say the least, wasn't it? I think it was just a bit of petulance, a bit of frustration at the situation, and it's just unprofessional, isn't it, really, more than anything? And etiquette, you just shouldn't really do things like that.
He was doing that the whole game, though, Steve. I think he went in hard on, I think it was Park, and then started getting up and insinuating that Park took a dive when he clearly didn't. He was really, it looks like a frustrated player, and a player that sort of knows, to quote Riera, is part of a sinking ship. I think he knows that. I'd rather have Rooney than Torres to say that, Dan. What do you think?
Well, Rooney used to be like that, though, didn't he? He used to be fairly petulant. I'm not saying he'd go and kick a penalty spot before someone's taking a penalty. I think that's...
Rooney would just kick a player.
It's just ludicrous, that. Torres put in a few tackles where he the yellow card that he got as well, that was long coming. I mean, he had a few fouls before that, and he took all that out as well, and then he was late, he didn't catch the bottle, so it's a booking. Yeah, he's whinging at that. And I just think that he gobs off to the ref a lot, which I think sometimes gets him into a bit of trouble. But so I think he's been booked about 3 times in the past 2 weeks that I've seen him, when he's been mouthing off at the ref.
I'm going to ask Steve a question. What did you think of Gary Neville's positioning for the goal?
Yeah, it was poor, but to be fair, it's good movement from Torres. He peels off his man, doesn't he, and gets in there for the header. I mean, he should have probably been a lot tighter to him, but I just think that's decent forward play. And it was a great cross from Kite as well. Vidic was sort of nowhere to be seen either. Maybe he could have been positioned a bit better, a bit closer to Torres, because you know Torres is the only threat from that cross. So really, you want to be dealing with the main danger man, and he wasn't, and obviously Neville wasn't either. So yeah, it wasn't great defending, but I'd say it was great forward play as well as more than putting Neville down for it.
And what about Michael Carrick? He was pretty rubbish. What do you think, Dan?
No, I didn't see that at all. I mean, he kept
really?
The game. Yeah, no. Well, he didn't do many. He didn't get forward as much as what he normally does. But I mean, I think that he kept the ball moving. Didn't get caught out too many times. And obviously, you know, he gets a lot of the ball in the midfield there. And you know, sometimes he's going to make a bad pass. But I think, you know, more often than not, he made the right pass. Just played it to his full backs. Played it out wide. I don't see any problems. He played a good few passes out to Valencia on the right hand side. So I mean, I think he was steady. He wasn't outstanding by any stretch of the imagination. But he wasn't. I don't think he was that poor either. I'm surprised you said that, actually.
I honestly didn't think he was that good, but obviously it was his pass that sort of led to the goal as well. And I felt like he should maybe have had a bit more influence on the game from where he was, and it just didn't. It was more like a passenger, and like when you want somebody, you want Carrick to kind of dictate the play from midfield, and he didn't really do that very much.
Well, I think Fletcher sort of took on that responsibility of getting the ball off the back four and starting things going. So I think Carrick maybe was a bit overshadowed, but I mean, there's no shame in that. Fletcher was brilliant on the day, and Carrick has been brilliant most of the season as well. So you can carry one or two players in a team, but I mean, it's when you get more than one or two that you'll start struggling. But I mean, I think I'm nothing to worry about Michael Carrick with.
Okay, well, before we move on, just going to correct myself from last week. I incorrectly named Stuart Holden in an email. So just sort of apologising for that, Stuart. Stuart Holden.
How dare you?
So just to put that right. Sorry, Stuart. And well, guys, we'll move on to the Champions League draw that was made on Friday and have a quick discussion about who we're facing. Of course, it's Bayern Munich. Well, Dan, are you confident? I mean, they're top of the Bundesliga. They did just lose on the weekend, though. I think it was 2-1 to Frankfurt. But they're still top. Their top goal scorers are Mario Gomez and Arjen Robben. That's just in the league. They've got 10 goals each. Are you worried at all, or are you confident that they're not really as strong as some of the other bigger European powers?
I think they're the strongest team behind Barcelona. I know Inter played quite well over the two legs against Chelsea, but I think that we could probably do them over two games, home and away. But I think Bayern, they've obviously got Frank Ribery, and they've got Arjen Robben as well. Both pacey, tricky wingers. Who like to get a goal as well. We saw Robin's goal against Fiorentina in the last round. Stunning strike, really. Mario Gomez, not sure about him. Was it the last World Cup or the Euros where he was a bit of a flop for Germany? So, I mean, I think that they've got some decent players. Van Bommel in the midfield, he's experienced and quite a decent player, good passer of the ball. But, I mean, I think that we should really, if we want to win the Champions League, we've got to be looking at beating teams like Bayern Munich. They're not as strong as what they were. I know you say they're top of the Bundesliga, but I think we're top of the Premier League, so I think we're a bit better than them.
And Dov, just looking at the fixtures for when we play Bayern, got the first leg obviously next Tuesday, and Chelsea wedged in between the second leg and the first leg on the Saturday, April the 3rd. So is that going to have any bearing on it? Will Ferguson sort of look at that and make sure he's got some fresh faces for the Chelsea game, or does that all go out the window? Will you be concentrating on just playing a strong team in all three games?
I think you may look to maybe get it finished in the first leg, like maybe a bit like Milan, because obviously you've got sort of with Tuesday and the Saturday playing Chelsea, and then the following Wednesday. I think going from like I've only seen Bayern Munich play against Fiorentina this season. It didn't look very good. The way that I think it'll be a performance pretty much like Liverpool. I think we'll look to contain them and hit them on the break a little bit as well, because from what I can gather, they're defensively they're not very strong. You've got a lot of players that have been out, like Giggs, for example, who's just had a little spell on the sideline, so he'll be fresh as well. There's not really that many injuries. Rio's coming back obviously as well, and Brown hopefully might be back very very soon as well. So I think everything seems to be coming together quite nicely, and I'm very very confident. I don't know, I'm getting ready to book my flight to Madrid, to be honest.
The good thing is, I mean, you know, Vidic has been injured for quite a while throughout the season. Ferdinand obviously been injured, and they're coming back as well to fitness. Van der Sar, he's going to look like he's going to be playing most games now, barring injury. So we're looking fresh. Like you say, Giggs coming back. Maybe Hargreaves can play a little run in the title, but I'm not convinced he'll be able to do that. But, you know, we're getting players back. The fact is that, you know, we've not been brilliant throughout the season consistently, you know, due to our injuries mainly, I'd say. But we're still in there, you know. We're top of the league. We kept chase with Chelsea when we did have our injuries, and now they're having injuries and they're struggling. So I think that it's testament to the squad that Ferguson has built up, really, and the players that he's brought in that have done the job over the past months where we've been struggling.
There's a desire as well and a will to win. It's like everyone works hard for each other. The two players that epitomise that really are Rooney and Fletcher, obviously, but everywhere across the park, not everyone's willing to put a shift in, and if you lose the ball, you go and win it back. Even Berbatov's being seen to be tracking back. I don't think there's a player that you can say, oh, if he loses the ball, he'll just give up and not want to win it back. So I think that all counts for it as well. And not like you say, Dan, it's all ticking over nicely. But
Do you think that Berbatov will play over in Germany? I mean, I know he's had experience of playing in the Bundesliga with Leverkusen, has he? Do you think he might go with Berbatov in that game just to use his hold-up play and his link-up play?
Do you not think, though, that he might start with him against Bolton? He might go 4-4-2 against Bolton and then go back to the 4-5-1 against Bayern, because you've got to expect that, haven't you, surely? 4-5-1.
No, yeah, I know. I fully expect Ferguson to play 4-5-1 away from home. But, you know, in Europe, I'm not complaining. I'm just wondering whether Berbatov might play up front and Rooney maybe move out wide. I don't know.
I think if
you took Rooney out, though, then you've got a problem. Then you'd take his goals out, and he's in such a good form at the moment. You don't want to really change his positions, do you, I suppose? But,
it's a good idea in terms of nullifying what Ribery or Robben might offer. I mean, I don't know how to play it because I haven't watched them, but I presume Ribery plays on the right and perhaps they swap over.
Oh, there's other way about. Robben plays on the right, Ribery plays on the left.
So, yeah, well, Rooney's work rate on the left would mean that he would sort of track back and help out Evra. So it's a possibility. But
it depends how you want to use him, though. I mean, like, I think Rooney, he's sort of learned to play that lone sort of striker role, like, really well over the last year or so. And I think going back to what Dan said, I think Berbatov, maybe... Like, people are going to hate me for saying this as well, but I think he's more a player to be used against the smaller teams like Bolton or Blackburn or somebody like that, teams that will park the bus as such, and because he's got the tricks and the flicks and he can do a little bit of that unexpected, shall we say, he can unlock those sort of defences where if you get teams like, let's say, Bayern Munich or Chelsea, who will have a go, we can then use our defensive solidity to then get them on the counter-attack and sort of exploit them that way.
No, I can see what you're saying. It's a fair point, Dan. But I think I can see him going with a 4-5-1 with Rooney up front, only because that's what has worked so well for him so far. But completely take your point. But what about the semi-final, Dan? I mean, Dov's talked about already booking his flight to Madrid. But Bordeaux and Lyon, it does look favourable if we were to get through to the semis.
Obviously, if we play Bordeaux, Laurent Blanc will be coming back. Don't like talking really about the semi-finals. We've not got through the quarters yet. But I can definitely see that the draw is favourable to us. Just means that we've been split up from Barcelona until the final, if both clubs get there again, which would be a fantastic final.
like you're not talking about the semi-finals.
No, I know.
I'm looking to the final.
Yeah. No,
I think we've got a good chance, Dan. Definitely, we're in the easier side of the draw. So
yeah, you can't get complacent, though. I mean, the teams that we've been knocked out by in the past, you know, the Monacos, the Dortmunds. I know that we probably weren't as good in Europe as what we are now then. But we've been knocked out by some poor Leverkusen as well. You know, when they got to the final, we got knocked out in the semis to them, and I don't think they were any, you know, they weren't a brilliant team, and the team that we had should have been able to, you know, beat them over two legs, but it didn't happen. So I think you just got to be cautious. I think sometimes it helps when you play the bigger teams, because, you know, the players are more motivated and they know what's expected of them, whereas if you play a smaller team, you know, like a Lyon or a Bordeaux, you can underestimate them, sort of. You know, Real Madrid obviously this season lost to Lyon. So it's not improbable for them to get through and lift the trophy, is it, really?
You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
Oh, we'll move on to reserves review now on the RedCafe.net podcast. And Dov's going to bring us news of an Owen Hargreaves return.
Indeed I am, Steve. Last week he was meant to return against Manchester City in the reserves. Never quite happened. But it did this week, as Manchester United reserves played Burnley reserves in the Reserve League at Moss Lane on, I think it was... Thursday evening. It was a 2-0 victory to United. And before we talk about Owen Hargreaves, I'll tell everybody a bit about the game as well. The goals came from Fabian Brandy and Corey Evans. Basically, the first sort of half wasn't really... There wasn't really very many chances. A couple of set pieces. Joey Gudjohnsen had a magnificent drive from 20 yards that smashed against the crossbar. Burnley were playing offside trap quite a lot. Let's just say a lot of offsides were given against the United strikers. Although Reece Brown, he managed to spring it, and Possebon had a snapshot, but that was blocked. Oliver Norwood tried another shot as well, but he smashed it over the bar. But on 22 minutes, it was a Burnley-born striker, Oliver Norwood, who swung in a free kick, a great free kick from him, and Brandy sort of glanced his header beyond Diego Penny. They went in, and that was 1-0 to United. Burnley, though, they weren't deterred at all. They came right back into the game. Zieler made a couple of great saves just before half-time, and then just after half-time as well, saved from Joey Gudjohnsen again. So I think I remember last week Zieler had a cracking game as well. Then on 55 minutes, the second goal came. Brandy, he sort of worked his way through to the goal and then turned back on himself and then sort of had a nice cross to the back post where Corey Evans put it right into the roof of Diego Penny's goal to make it 2-0. Owen Hargreaves only lasted 45 minutes, but we'll talk about him in a sec. He was replaced by Magnus Ekram, and he came on and hacked a ball off the line to keep United 2-0 ahead as well. Diego Penny made a magnificent save. Scott Muffett had a 25-yard pile driver shot, and he saw Diego Penny outstretched arm and sort of saved that. That came about 18 minutes, that was. And also as well, Zieler made another great save near the end from Christian Calvenes as well. So another good performance and a great sort of defensive resolve from the United side. It was good to see Owen Hargreaves back. And Dan, I know you watched this game as well. Good to see Owen back. He played decent, running about a bit. Wasn't really getting it involved too much in sort of any tackles or anything like that. Obviously, it's his first game back for about 2 years. I mean, what did you think of his performance in the reserves?
I think he did all right. It's much to do what he expected, really. Just ran around a little bit in midfield, made a few good passes. Played it safe. I really wanted him to go into like a 50-50 or something, but there weren't really many opportunities for him to do that. But I mean, I think he came through it all right. He's come through it unscathed.
Yeah, he kept possession well, which was good to see.
Even though he's not playing for the nearly 2 years now, and he was still, I'd say, one of the best players out there. Really, his experience, like you say, keeping the ball. But it'll be completely different to when he comes back into the first team. But he was very optimistic, wasn't he? I mean, he was saying after the game, he could think he could get into the World Cup squad now, which I think is a tad bit unrealistic. But I mean, if he's got ambition there, we were talking before about Darren Fletcher is good in midfield, and we missed someone like Hargreaves as well. So I mean, there's no reason why he can't come and play in the first team for the next few weeks.
Yeah, no, it was good to see him back. I think we've got Burnley again in the reserves. I think that'll be later on this week, and I think he's set to play in that. Like, that's on the 25th of March. So two games in a row against Burnley, one home, one away. A few more games in the reserves. Maybe he can maybe play a part in the running, depending on how he gets on.
Well, yeah, hopefully. I mean, he's a very good player, but I mean, you can never tell till they come back for good, can you? How good he'll be after his injury.
Oh, it's the time for the podcast for player and cabbage of the week then. Dan, I'll start with you then. Who would be your player of the week in what has been a pretty decent week for us?
I think it's got to be Darren Fletcher. Performance on Sunday was outstanding, as we mentioned before. There's nobody else really. I think Rooney was, he was decent on Sunday, but he did have an outstanding game. But I think Fletcher he kept everything together and he kept it moving nicely in midfield. Obviously, he's got an assist with Park's goal as well. So, yeah, I think Darren Fletcher.
Dolph, what about you?
Well, I'm hoping you say Ji-Sung Park, because I'm not going to. I'm actually going to give it to Gary Neville, because I thought his run to give Fletcher that yard of space to get the crossing for the last goal was fantastic. I was raving about that when he done it, and I really think that won us the game. So he's getting my player of the week for that.
Fantastic. Neville makes a run and you've given him player of the week.
I just thought that was good. And then
it was a good run, to be fair, though, Steve. Fletcher couldn't get that ball in without Gary Neville making that little decoy.
Oh, no, take nothing away from him. It was a great run. But yeah, I mean, Dov saying there about not giving it to Park, I think he's got to get it this week for scoring the winner against Liverpool in such a big game. And he's a big game player now. I think Dan talks about it earlier in the show. I mean, he scored against Milan this season. Did he get one against Arsenal as well this season in the second half?
Yep, he has indeed.
Arsenal last season as well, in the Champions League, of course, and then a winner against Liverpool too. So he's got quite a repertoire now of scoring crucial goals. So, yeah, and he was just played pretty well as well. I know Dolph said first half he wasn't really at the races, if you like. He wasn't really performing too well, but to grab a winner against Liverpool is the stuff of legend. So great stuff from Park this week. What about Cabbage then, Dov?
I alluded to this earlier on. I'm going to give it to Michael Carrick. I don't think he was very effective against Liverpool. His, shall we say, pass or whatever he was doing lying on the floor, it led to the goal. I didn't really think he was very good. I know Dan disagrees, but I thought the game really passed on by.
Dan, what about you? It's a bit of a tricky one this week.
This sounds harsh, but I'm going to give it to Gary Neville. I thought that
you kind of get player and Cabbage.
No, I didn't give him player. You gave him player. I think that he was at fault for the Liverpool goal in the fact that, I know we mentioned it before about Torres' good movement, but Gary Neville there, he's a top class defender. He's experienced, if anything, and he should be able to read what Torres is doing there. He's not going to hang on the back post, so he's always going to go towards the near post to attack that ball. I think that was his fault. And also, when Jamie Carragher ended up at the left wing, Gary Neville was backing off him like it was like Ryan Babel running at him. Come on, what's Jamie Carragher going to do to you? He's not going to skin you, is he? Just Gary Neville, put your foot in, but you get backing off. So that's why Gary Neville gets it.
Yeah, I'm struggling to think of one, actually, but I think I'm going to give it to Nani just because it was a bit of an ineffectual performance. I don't think he did anything terribly bad, and I like the fact that Nani tracks back as well and helps out in defence. So this is a bit harsh, but just because I don't think no one else was really that bad, it's Nani for me this week.
You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast. You can email us at podcast@redcafe.net or alternatively, post your opinion on the RedCafe.net forums.
CAF Countdown welcomes Decorative Ed to the show as the eighth contestant aiming to grab some United prizes. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks, Stephen.
Good. Fantastic weekend for United overall, obviously, with the Chelsea result as well. Do you fancy us to get the fourth title in a row?
I don't know. I'm a bit superstitious about jinxing everything. Yeah, we're going to do it and everything. I think we've got a good chance, especially now. But Arsenal, obviously, we've got an easier run in, probably. We've got the European side coming up with Barcelona. It makes things a bit more difficult for them, but we'll see.
No, like you say, I'm not one to be optimistic too much, but I think this year, especially with the 19th title looming over us, I think we've got something to aim for there.
That's the thing. It'd be really on a few different levels, wouldn't it? We'd get the 19th, 13th, to get four in a row if it happened, and it'd show everyone that said it would be nothing without Ronaldo and Tevez that we were lying.
Yeah, it'd be fantastic. I mean, as well, with the Champions League draw, how do you think that'll pan out?
I was hoping to get Barcelona, actually. I just wanted to, I thought it'd be easier to get to, if we were going to meet them at some point, to meet them as soon as possible. And over two legs, I thought we'd have a better chance. I'm not sure. I mean, Munich, they could. Sometimes this year they've been good and sometimes they've got pretty poor. So we'll have to see. I'm not sure.
All right, then. Right. Well, we'll get on to the countdown then. Fergal, as you probably know, is top of the pile. You can be the one to bring him back down. Okay, you got 1 minute to answer many questions. The clock starts now. When did United first win the FA Cup?
1909.
From whom did United sign Cristiano Ronaldo from?
Sporting.
What was the final score in the 1968 European Cup final?
4-1.
Who beat United in the 2003 Worthington Cup final?
Liverpool.
Who took over the number 16 shirt following the departure of Roy Keane?
Michael Carrick.
Jordi Cruyff played in how many consecutive Charity Shields?
Three.
From which club did United sign Steve Coppell from in 1975?
Tranmere Rovers.
Which ex-United player scored the first ever golden goal in a World Cup?
Pass.
Who scored United's winning goal in the 1990 FA Cup final? Who scored United's last penalty in the 2008 Champions League final? Well, there you are. You got, I think you got eight there. which will put your joints up.
Tiebreaker.
Yeah, that's that's very good. I'm impressed with that. I can't believe you, the Jordi Cruyff one. I'm not surprised you got that wrong, because that stumped me a bit. He played in four consecutive Turkish Shields. Yeah. We double check that one. It's definitely right. number eight was Laurent Blanc, who scored the first ever golden goal, the actual night player. But you got all the other ones right, so well done. That's actually fantastic. Well done. Well done.
All right,
no worries. Well, cheers for joining us, and we'll speak to you again unless nobody beats you.
Hope so. All right, bye.
All right, no worries. Bye bye.
Great stuff. And Dolph, back to you again. What about your legends profile for this week?
Well, I thought I'd have a bit of fun with legends this week, and I've decided that Clayton Graham-Blackmore is going to be this week's legend. So, see what everybody thinks of this. He was born on the 23rd of September 1964 in Neath, Inglemorgan, in Wales, and he's a Welsh international with 39 caps for the Wales side. It was, shall we say, a versatile player. His preferred position was left back, so he played at full back, could play left back, could play right back, could play centre defence, same in midfield, and also played as a forward at times as well. He joined United as an apprentice, and it wasn't long before he made his first team debut for United. He made his debut on the 16th of May 1984. And a 2-0 defeat against Nottingham Forest on the City Ground. He was only 19 years old, and that was in 1982. Next season, he did make another appearance as well, but it wasn't until sort of the season 85-86 where he came more to prominence. He got 12 league games the 85-86 season. It wasn't until sort of 87-88 that, like, this is when Ferguson really sort of put him in the first team. Got 22 games, scored 3 goals in that season, when we finished second in the league to Liverpool as well. Next season, Blackmore again cemented this place in the side, 28 games the following season, although we only finished 11th. And well, he played mostly as a fullback, like I say, sort of left back or as a winger as well. He was the first choice left back when we won the European Cup Winners' Cup. He also helped us win the FA Cup against Crystal Palace in 1990 as well. Turned out his career was maybe, not that I wouldn't say cut short, but better players came in. Paul Parker, he came in as a right back and sort of took over his position there after Dennis Irwin came in as well and took over Blackmore's favoured left back position. So therefore, he was then moved up to midfield. On the left wing, you had the emergence of, like, Ryan Giggs and Lee Sharp, which again limited his chances. Although in the 91-92 season, he did manage 33 league games for us as well. Also, won 14 league appearances in the season. We won our first league for 26 years, so it did get a fair number of games. Another thing as well, one of the reasons I actually chose him for is he's got the unique distinction of having worn every number for United from 2 to 11. It's basically under the old system, before squad numbers, obviously every player was 1 to 11, goalkeeper being number 1, so he had worn every single number. Obviously, after the sort of league triumph and squad numbers were on, he was given the number 15. Although in the season 93-94, he didn't make any first team appearances, and this was basically due to injury problems which blighted the end of his United career. After that, in 1994, so he'd been with United for over 12 years in the first team, he was sent on a free transfer to Middlesbrough, where he linked up with a former teammate, Brian Robson, and he helped Middlesbrough win promotion to the Premier League in his first season with them. He then had a loan spell, like during his time with Middlesbrough, had a loan spell at Bristol City, then moved to Barnsley, again Notts County, so it ended up being a bit of a journeyman towards the end, then to Lee, and then moved to Bangor City, where he stayed for 6 years, played 176 games for them, played the UEFA Cup and the Intertoto Cup, and then was subsequently appointed as a manager after his sort of playing career with Bangor ended. he then moved to the Welsh team and Porthmadog, I think that's how you say it, but again, if anybody wants to correct me, they're more than welcome to. He was there for a year, played 18 games for them, and then moved to his hometown club, of whom he still plays, Neath Athletic in 2007. They play in the Welsh Premier Division, so he's 44 years old and he's still playing. He does also play in the master side, which many of you might know from a certain broadcaster's coverage during the summer months. He also is getting involved in a United Legends 11 team, and they're basically, they've been given sort of licensed by the club. They've got proper kits, and they're officially representing Manchester United. And he's sort of like hoping to organise it and make it more of a global thing, getting teams sort of in the continent involved as well. And he did say, there's a quote by him, he says, hopefully by the time Giggsy can play for us, it'll be huge. So I think that's a bit of a long-term project for him as well. He does do some work for MUTV and also Channel M too. He's maybe not a legend in the sense where you think of guys like Bobby Charlton, and Dennis Law, and George Best and things like that. But I mean, he played over 200 games for us, and it was maybe sort of in the foundation of that, of the sort of the Alex Ferguson era, that sort of led us on to the players like Beckham, the Nevilles, Giggsy's coming through and things like that. And obviously it was part of the team that won the first Premier League. So I think I would like to call him a legend if others won't. So yeah. He's this week's Legend of Old Trafford.
You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
Well, everybody, it's that time on the RedCafe.net podcast where we talk to an opposition fan. And at the weekend, we have Bolton Wanderers at the Reebok Stadium. And I'm delighted to welcome Tom Molloy from thewanderer.co.uk. And that's the-wanderer.co.uk. Tom, welcome to the RedCafe.net podcast.
Thanks for me.
Excellent stuff. Well, we should get right into it. I just want to know that Onkoy obviously took over partway through the season. How have he been performing since he took over from Gary Megson?
It's been a positive change. We've been a lot better, more focused on attacking, but our defence has got a lot tighter. I think we've got 4 or 5 clean sheets since he's arrived, and we had none on Megson. Yeah, there's been a positive feeling around matches since he's took over.
A couple of players you say are a bit more attacking. I mean, are there any sort of players that we should maybe look out for, sort of like Elmander or like Kevin Davis is quite a sort of big, sort of potent striker. Is there anybody should look out for?
He supplies most of the assists to the team. Elmander seems to have found his feet in the recent weeks. He's got a play and he got a goal against him. Kevin Davis is always a worry for opposition defenders. He's physical and he puts himself up, and he's got a good touch as well. Jack Wilshere from Arsenal, who's playing probably playing on the left wing, is also good at passing and has got quite a good shot on him as well. So we're attacking threats, I'd say.
What about defensively at the back? I mean, do you think he can cope with us? I mean, we've got obviously Wayne Rooney's on top form. I believe is it Gary Cahill might be playing for the reserves this week. Do you think he'll be fit for the weekend?
He just completed 90 minutes actually for the reserves, and I think he should be fit. Might be on the bench. Gretson suspended at right back, so expect Sam Ricketts to slot in there. Muamba's been good as a defensive midfield this season. He got the goal that he needed again. Yeah, we're very tight at the back under Coyle. Tonight, like a possible England contender under him.
Well, remains to be seen. We'll talk about, we'll get your views on United as well. Here's one for you. If you could have one player from United, money is no object, so you've got all of the money in the world, even more than Manchester City, who would it be? And you're not allowed to choose Wayne Rooney because everybody says Wayne Rooney.
Well, it would have been Wayne Rooney because, like, at the moment, I'd say the best player in the world apart from Messi at the minute. But except him, I'd say we need to buy a left winger, so... Bradley's is getting on a bit, but he's still got the class, I believe. I'm sure Park Ji-sung can fit in there quite nicely as well. And it could complement our other Korean, Lee Chung-kyung, so I'd have to say Park.
Interesting stuff there, Tom. And just before I let you go, get a little prediction from the game, or for the game from you. How do you think it'll turn out?
I have to say, my heart says 1-1, but my head would have to say 2-0 to you.
Well, I hope it goes with your head. I'll just say that to keep our title challenge alive. But Tom, thank you very much for coming on the RedCafe.net podcast. It has been a pleasure having you on.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure being on.
Good stuff. And well, may the best team win at the weekend.
May the best team win, which is us. And I hope, I sincerely hope Chelsea or Arsenal win the title.
Oh, that's nasty. That's nasty. Thanks very much, Tom. Cheers for coming on.
Well, that was the views of our opposition fan for this week, and we'll do a little preview ourselves before we close on this episode of the RedCafe.net podcast. Dan, it's going to be tough. Bolton away. We usually say this every week. Every game's tough in the Premier League, but yeah, Bolton especially. We only just beat them last season, 1-0. Berbatov popped up with a last-minute winner, I seem to remember. And but the Reebok, it's always been a difficult place to go. And when you factor in that they haven't lost since January when they lost to Arsenal, it all adds up to proving it's not going to be easy.
There are always tough games against Bolton. I mean, there's not many occasions where we roll over Bolton, especially at the Reebok. I mean, at Old Trafford it's different, you know. I think they always come there to sort of, you know, just try and defend what they've got, which is a 0-0 draw. It doesn't quite happen for them, but I mean, I think, you know, at the Reebok, they're forced to be reckoned with. They've got some good players. Kevin Davis up front, he'll batter our centre-halves around, and he'll probably work on Ever again like he did the last few seasons. Elmander, you know, he's not a brilliant player, but he's coming into a little bit of form at the moment. You know, Gary Cahill could be fit at centre-half as well. So I think they've got some all right players there. They've obviously got Jack Wilshere from Arsenal, Mwamba, who's a decent midfielder as well. So I think they've got some nice little players there, and it's you know, next season will be a big season for Bolton and Owen Coyle. But I think we should, you know, we've got to be going to Reebok in a positive attitude. 4-4-2, say it every week. 4-4-2, Rooney, Berbatov up front, and just take the game to them.
What about prediction? You have to stick your neck on the line.
Stick my neck on the line. I'd go with 2-0, United.
Dov, how do you see it all going?
I think it'll be, again, I'm with Dan, I think it'll be a tough game, because they're quite formidable at home. But I think the introduction of Dimitar Berbatov, I think he'll start, and I think I'm going to be very complimentary to him. I think he'll be the key to this game. I think it'll be a moment of magic. I don't think there'll be many chances for us, but I think he'll produce maybe one or two little bits of magic that could get us a goal. I think it'll be really, really close. I can only see a 1-0 victory, maybe 2-1, but I think there'll be one goal in it.
You watch Berbatov go and get injured after 5 minutes now, or straight red card or something.
But just after seeing him make that run against Fulham, I think he's a new man. So I'm gonna give him the benefit of the doubt for this game at least, until something bad happens and then he does something stupid. But we'll see. But I think we'll get a win. We should be getting the victories there, especially before the European game as well. I think we need to go onto that in a good footing as well.
It's a good point. Yeah, I know if we any slip up against Bolton, going into Bayern away, it becomes more of a tricky game than what it's going to be anyway. So you've got to be going there full of confidence, and a draw or a defeat, and like losing ground on Arsenal and Chelsea, that could prove a real stumbling block. But no, I'm confident we'll pick up the win.
The good thing is, though, Steve, I mean, it's in our own hands now, the title, isn't it? Whereas, yes, yeah. You know, in the last few weeks, we've always been waiting for somebody to slip up. But now, it's in our hands. Chelsea slipped up on Sunday against Blackburn, so it's in our hands now, and I think that's the best position, obviously, for it to be in. And you don't want any slip-ups, like you say, but Bolton is the type of place where you could get a slip-up, you know.
Yeah. Did we not win? Was it 1-0 we won there last season?
Yeah, well, Berbatov scored last season, and I think it was good work from Tevez, actually, in my opinion. But, you know, last-minute goal, it was important. And I think it could be a similar game this season, you know.
Yeah, that's what
Saturday.
I think it'll be much of the same. I think it'll maybe be a bit deja vu as well. Maybe not 90th minute, but I think I'm going to pin my hopes on Dimitar. So yeah. I think has Rooney not picked up a little bit of an injury as well?
I think he has. Well, I think he'll be fine though. But I mean, going back to the Bolton game, sorry, Dob. Like, I think if we keep them quiet for say the first 20 minutes, just limit them to a few shots on goal, I think by then we'll be able to get control of the game, and I think we'll hopefully come out, you know, comfortable winners. It's easier talking than playing, isn't it?
Great stuff. Well, that is just about the end of the 33rd episode of the RedCafe.net podcast. 33 episodes. Well, do send your emails to podcast@redcafe.net. Join us on the Facebook group too if you haven't already, and make sure you tune in again next week.